This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. Thus began the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who came to deliver us from the curse of the law and to rule the world in righteousness. The Word did not become a philosophy, a theory, or a concept to be discussed or debated or pondered, but the Word became a person to be followed, enjoyed and loved, yes, loved and obeyed. Why? Because He came to rule the world, to judge the world in righteousness. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But as he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is not of a man, but of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus or Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done, said the apostle Matthew, that all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He called his name Jesus, Yeshua. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, under the Roman Empire, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? The wise men in their wisdom knew that Jesus was born to be king. He was born to rule. He was not born to be worshipped as a baby. He was born to rule and to reign. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we don't find anywhere in the Bible that commands us to worship or remember even the birth of Christ. It tells us about the birth of Christ, but it doesn't tell us that this is a feast or a moedim or an appointed time. It doesn't tell us that we should celebrate the birth of Christ. Is it wrong to celebrate the birth of Christ? I don't think so, because it's one of the greatest things that ever happened on this planet, as we're going to see not only in words, but also in music today on Viewpoint. Today on Viewpoint, I've been so excited about preparing for this program today, because I have isolated out four particular songs, portions of those songs, which I believe best express the spirit of this time when we remember, celebrate, whatever word you want to use, the birth of the Son of God in the form of flesh, who came to this earth to bring deliverance because humankind was incapable of doing that. Why was humankind incapable of doing that? Well, a great tragedy occurred. You remember, that occurred back in Genesis chapter 3. It was not a pretty picture what happened in Genesis chapter 3, as you remember. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, we know that after God had formed Adam in his own image, and then he gave Adam a wife that was also formed in Adam's image and also, therefore, in God's image, he gave them a commandment. You may eat of everything that's in this wonderful garden that I prepared for you, but you may not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then came the serpent. The very next thing that happened after that marriage was, then came the serpent. So Genesis 3 is one of the greatest tragedies of all history, in all of Scripture. Adam and Eve sinned against God by shall we say, reasoning with what God said. Satan caused them to reason with what God had said and put a spin on it. Said, well, yeah, God did tell you, as you have said, not to eat of that tree, but he knew that if you ate of that tree, you would be just like him, knowing good and evil. And they thought to themselves, oh, wow, that sounds pretty, wow, we would like to be just like God. And that's what humankind has been trying to do ever since. The whole realm of technology now is heading us in that direction to try to become God in his place. It was a heartbreaking rupture that occurred there in God's perfect creation. Yet before the curse comes a promise. God declared in that very same chapter of Genesis chapter 3 that the woman shall bring bear an offspring that would crush the head of the serpent. Jesus, the Son of Man and Son of God, would come to break the curse, to renew the creation, to make whole what was now broken as far as the earth is found. And in Psalm 98, all creation was called upon to make a joyful noise before God. Why? Because the Lord had come to judge the earth in righteousness and to rule and reign. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation is always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And I trust that today, as we proceed with our program today, that you are going to be encouraged, you're going to be blessed, maybe informed in some way, maybe transformed. Who knows? But we're going to take a look at the birth of Christ destined to reign. Isaiah told us in 9, 6, and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it from this time forth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. So all we generations, centuries before Jesus was born, the promise was reiterated by Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He also indicated that this child would be born of a virgin. Why? Because the child could not be contaminated with the seed either of the man or of the woman, the blood, because that, the life is in the blood, and because the sin nature was transmitted through Adam and Eve onto the rest of you and me. We needed a deliverer. We needed somebody to come down from his glory and give us a new story. Yeah, born in a manger, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, yes, but we needed him because we could not help ourselves. We'll be right back, friends. Now we can perhaps understand better why we're going to conclude with joy to the world. We'll be right back after this.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and today we are moving forward rapidly to embrace the first coming of Christ and to prepare for the second coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ was salutary. The second coming is deadly serious. And so today on Viewpoint, we encompass both of those, and we see how God, through his tender mercy, the tender mercy of our God, sent his only begotten Son to take upon himself the curse of the law, the curse of sin. Mary talked about this in Luke chapter 1. She said, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Whose mercy? God's mercy, the Father's mercy. On them who fear him. Apparently, Mary was one who feared the Lord. Apparently, Joseph, her betrothed, was one who feared the Lord. But today, in our generation, the fear of the Lord has fallen on very hard times, not only in our nation as a whole, but in the church. We want to love Jesus, but we just don't want to fear him. And that leads us to disobeying him because we think that somehow we're co-equal. And that's exactly what Satan did in the garden. He convinced Adam and Eve that they could be co-equal with God. They could rationalize what God had said. And that's what we do today with seemingly expertise. And so we needed some help, a lot of help. And I want to take you back to the year 1961. A little personal note here. In 1961, my father was pastoring a church in Wichita, Kansas. In that church was a young man, the same age as I was, 15 years of age. His name was Dick or Richard Everett. And God had blessed this young man with an unbelievable tenor voice. So great was his tenor voice that not only did he sing in our congregation, but at that time, in that day and age, Youth for Christ rallies were the thing in America. And it was a big thing in Wichita, Kansas. Hundreds would gather on a Saturday evening, and people throughout the region would sing, and they would praise the Lord, they would have a teaching, and so on. It was a very big deal. And I'll never forget Richard Everett standing on that stage and singing these lyrics. Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwells in him. There are goosebumps going up and down my spine even now as I read those lyrics, because I read the lyrics in the context of the music. The unbelievable tenor voice of Dick Everett. This became one of my favorite Christmas songs, if there is such a thing, Down from His Glory. And I want you to listen to an excerpt from that song sung by one in the context of the Gaithers and one of their presentations. I hope it blesses you. Listen carefully with your heart.
Yeah.
all God's fullness dwelleth in him. I could just hear my friend, 15 years of age, singing that song, almost with the same degree of fullness as that grown man singing that song. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance, Yeshua took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know you are the great I am. The great I am. You see, that's exactly what God tried to get across to Moses to lead his children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses asked him, well, who shall I tell the people that you are? They're not going to know anything about this. They've been 400 years in slavery. They've been under the curse of Pharaoh, a type of Antichrist, for all these years. And who am I going to tell Pharaoh, the type of Antichrist? Who am I going to tell them has sent me? And God said, you tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am. Question, do you see God that way, as your total I am? Not just God out there somewhere, but the God who rules and reigns not only in the universe, but was sent to reign in our minds and our hearts. You see, the ultimate temple mount is not the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, as important that that may be. The ultimate temple mount is the temple mount of our hearts. And that's where Jesus has a hard time reigning, because we don't want to let him in. You remember what happened there in Bethlehem? Bethlehem was always a small place. It was the house of David, the house of bread. It was where David was born. It was a small place, pretty much inconspicuous in the Roman Empire. But Joseph had to go down there because he was of the house and lineage of David to be taxed by Caesar Augustus, who was a type of a globalistic Antichrist. Caesar Augustus, the very words meant that he was the combination or enjoining of deity and civil rulership. And he ruled the Roman Empire. So he gave out a decree to be taxed, and Joseph had to comply, so he did. And he went down there to Bethlehem with Mary, about 70-mile journey by donkey, apparently, or walking. It wasn't an easy thing because Mary was pregnant as all get out, whatever that means. And they came to Bethlehem. You recall the account. And as they came to Bethlehem, they were looking for a place to stay. Well, this was a big weekend, a big week, because everybody was coming from all over to be taxed. And they couldn't find a single place to lay their head. Not one. As the scripture says, there was no place in the inn. No place in the inn. A song came out much later. Is there room in your heart for him? That's a good question. Is there room in my heart for him? Is there any place in the inn of my heart? Or is he relegated to a cave somewhere? Is he relegated to some back room that I can close off where he doesn't have to see the rest of my life? Is there any room in my heart for him? He came down from his glory. What condescension, bringing us redemption. But they couldn't find any room. No place for the Son of Man to lay his head. Mary, Joseph, apparently, as archaeologists try to tell us, he was born in a cave, in a manger, in a cave. Well, all that having been said, in Bethlehem, it was a very small town. It became actually one of the most inhabited, the oldest Christian communities in the entire world. Did you know that? But the size of the community has shrunk due to emigration. In other words, people fleeing. Why were they fleeing? Because they were being pushed out by Sharia law, by Islam, over and over and over again. Bethlehem, is still not really under Israeli control. But it's under God's control ultimately, because he chose to have the Christ child born there in a very inconspicuous place. But about Mary, have you thought about Mary? In Luke chapter 1, we have some of the most amazing words, the story concerning Mary and the birth of Jesus, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." Well, by every right, she should be blessed among women. I mean, after all, God chose her. But we cannot make her a virtual god or a co-redemptress with Christ. That would be idolatry, wouldn't it? We're not to idolize Mary, but we can call her blessed. And we can be grateful that God found someone that was pure and holy and pure as a person could be from God's viewpoint, and chose her. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," or Yeshua. "And he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Notice the words, "he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." He was born to be a king. He wasn't born to be a baby. Why do we want to keep him in the manger? Maybe you've heard the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" by Mark Lowry. Let's listen to some of that. It helps us to get inside the mind and heart of Mary.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy, he'll calm the storm with his hand?
Did she know that? Probably not. We'll be back after this. I hope you'll stay tuned, friends. We've just begun to look at the one who came to rule and reign.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Christmeyer. Today, we're taking a look at the birth of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, born of a virgin, born, according to historians, probably about 4 BC. It was at the time when Caesar Augustus sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed, when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And everybody went out. As recorded in Luke chapter 2, all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went also up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So we asked ourselves the question, is there room in my heart, in the inn of my heart, for Jesus? Not the Jesus we want him to be, but the Jesus who he was born to be, to rule and reign. An angel appeared to the shepherds out on the field and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be all to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And we haven't seen that peace yet, have we? And yet, the prophet Isaiah said, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." When he rules and reigns in the earth, there will be peace. Until then, men will cry, "Peace, peace," but there will be no peace, notwithstanding all of the best efforts of men and mice. There will be ultimately no peace. Jesus offers a different kind of peace. He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." He said, "If you'll receive me in the inn of your heart, and you'll walk with me in spirit and in truth, and you'll obey my voice just as I obeyed my Father, there's a place that I prepared for you. And I've gone to prepare that place, that where I am, there you might be also hospitable. There you might be also." So in other words, the message of the gospel, the message of the birth of Jesus Christ, was also a message of hospitality. In fact, you cannot even understand the gospel without hospitality. So I wrote a book. My wife and I wrote a book called The Power of Hospitality. In fact, we wrote that book by almost command of people that had heard us teach on that in Southern California, that it had such an unbelievable effect upon people in their individual lives. And so we wrote the book, The Power of Hospitality. An open heart, open hand, and open home will change your world. That's one of the main reasons and ways that you and I can express the first coming of Christ in our own world. We can be Jesus with skin on, you see. So if you'd like to get a copy of that book that'll change your life, it's a $16 book, yours for $15, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, if you want to get that special offer that we've been making, that's good up until the end of December, all 11 of my books, for a total of $154 plus $18 something shipping and handling. You'll never do better than that, ever. We have reduced these prices at the request of one of our listeners to make this possible. And we're very pleased to see how many people have decided to seize this opportunity. But if you want to do it, you're going to have to go to our website, saveus.org, and order there, or give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. And we'll get that rolling for you, just like somebody who called this very day. All right, we move forward now. We want to hear more from Mark Lowry. And then we're going to talk about that amazing night when the wise men showed up. Great I am, Mary, did you know? Well, she couldn't have known exactly, except the angel had said, behold, you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Notice, the throne, born to reign. It's not about a baby in a manger. That's just the beginning. Just like the new birth is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. If Jesus had died before he died and rose again, salvation would not have happened. He had to finish the course. He had to run the race that was set before him. Just like you and I must run the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And that we are called to endure. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, just 2 days before his crucifixion, he said, he that endures the end shall be saved. Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe that, friend? Do you believe that with God nothing shall be impossible? Are you sure? And Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. Amazing. Has God said anything to you that he wanted you to do or not to do or whatever he wanted you to follow? And you said, well, I don't think I could do that. I can't do that. That's not me. Why didn't you say, be it unto me according to thy word? Oh, well, I didn't feel like it. Do you think Mary felt like it here? It wasn't about feelings, friend. It was about faith. It was about faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And obviously, Mary pleased God, and that's probably one of the reasons why he chose her to receive the word, the seed of the word planted in her to bring forth life, that one, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Savior, the Messiah of the world, would also then bring a message of life to you and to me. That if we would allow the seed of that word to be planted in us, just as the seed of the word was planted in Mary, just think what it would bring forth. Words are seeds. The word of God as a seed, it is. And if we don't see it that way, we're not going to receive the blessings of the Lord, not the way we should. We're going to walk in frustration under the curse and not experience the power and persuasiveness of the new birth. I hope that means something to you. I hope it really does, because you see, Jesus came not to be a baby to be swooned over in swaddling clothes. If that's your view of Christmas, you're mistaken. We're missing the boat. That's all touchy-feely stuff. And there's okay to have a certain amount of emotion or touchy-feely. I'm sure Mary did, and certainly her cousin Elizabeth did, when she was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with a loud voice saying to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Wow, that was emotion. But it's not all about emotion. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. And when we get back, we're going to hear from El Divo, the musical quartet. We're going to hear from them about that night. The night when, perhaps it was, that the wise men met with Mary and Joseph. Or maybe the shepherds, when they met with them. It was a holy night. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It may surprise you, but when I was young, I was a childhood soprano. That's right, I was. And I sang solos, and one of the songs that I just absolutely loved to sing was the one that El Divo is about to present to you concerning that night when the shepherds showed up. Listen to it. Christ is the Lord. Noel Oh, holy night. It was a holy night. But it will also be a holy day or night when he shows up again, when Jesus comes again. Oh, but we're putting all of our focus on the babe in the manger, not the Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the one who would rule and reign in the name of the Father. He said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when Jesus comes again, he is coming to rule and reign as the hand of the Father extended. The surrogate, so to speak, of the Father. And he's going to rule the world in righteousness and the people with his truth. There's an interesting poem that was written. I do not know who wrote it, but let me share it with you quickly. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laid on the shelf without care in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressed to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with a baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus, returning just like he had said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him, in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, it's not here, my head hung in shame. The people whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose with a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I had been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. 'Twas the night before Jesus came again. You see, that's what the story is really all about. And that's why we should pay attention to it. It's not because of the baby in a manger. That sells well. That markets well to our flesh. But how about the reason behind? Is that going to market well? No, not really, because it leads us to the cross. And when Michael Card, the well-known musician, wrote a book called A Dangerous Cross about 15 years ago, he took it to 6 Christian publishers and they refused it. Why did they refuse it? Because every one of them told him the cross doesn't sell well anymore. You see, the message of Christmas is the message of the cross. Whether you want to use the word Christmas, which is a combination of Christ Mass, maybe you don't want to use that. Just use the birth of Christ. We don't know exactly when he was born. It's believed he was born about 4 BC. And if he were going to come after 2 days, as the scripture talks about in the book of Hosea, that would be 2,000 years. And 2,000 years from them would put it about 2030 AD, just about four and a half years from now. We can't fix a day or time because no man knows the day or the hour. But no man knew the day or the hour when Jesus was going to come the first time. The prophets had foretold, even Isaiah had foretold several hundred years earlier, but the people didn't get it. The religious leaders didn't get it. And when he did come, they rejected him. They didn't like what he had to say. The same is true today. Don't like much what he had to say. But I'll tell you one thing. For those who do like what he had to say, there's going to be joy in the camp. A whole lot of joy in the camp. For the rest of the world, it will not be joy. It will be terrible lament, because he's going to judge the world in righteousness. You might read about that in Revelation chapter 19. But until then, one of the most wonderful songs expressing the heart of the Christmas story or the birth of Christ and its future is the song Joy to the World, written by Isaac Watts back in the early 1700s. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature will sing. Let's listen to the Celtic women sing one of the most joyous expressions of that song. I wish you could have seen the faces of those four women dressed in red as they sang. You talk about joy to the world. They translated that in their faces, their smiles, and the emotive content that they placed in those words. Unfortunately, we tend to limit the words only to the first stanza. Here's what the second stanza says. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Notice again, born to reign. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Well, it's only going to be joyful for those that wanted him to reign. If you didn't want him to reign in your life today, why would you want him to reign in your life then? You wouldn't. And that's the problem. If the word obey has become a virtual four-letter word in the church, you know that the world is in trouble. Verse 3 of the song says, no more let sin and sorrows grow. No more let sin and sorrow grow. And then the fourth verse of that song, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. He rules the world with truth and grace. Are you prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ? You see, that's the real issue. They weren't prepared for his first coming. Even the religious leaders were having a difficult time when Herod asked them, well, where is this guy going to be born? Where is this Messiah, this king going to be born? And they looked around and finally they found it in the book of Micah, in Bethlehem of Judea. So Herod wasn't too happy about that. And when the wise men refused to come back and tricked Herod and didn't come back and report where he was, then Herod decided to take things in his own hands. And he had every boy baby in Bethlehem and surroundings, 2 years of age and under, destroyed. Prophetically, it had been called Rachel weeping for her children. It had been foretold centuries earlier. And here was Herod, a despotic arm of the Roman Empire that ruled the world at Jesus' first coming, trying to get rid of every representative that could possibly bring the message of the gospel. Jesus himself. The same is going to happen again, where every representative of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, in whose hearts and lives he truly reigns, and who are obeying him from the heart, will become the subject and object of the Roman Empire again. A globalistic Roman Empire in which all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You see, the story is not complete if we don't complete the story. He came down from his glory. It was a holy night, and he brought joy to the world for those who would receive him. But the question that hovers over the whole story is there room in my heart for him? Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. I hope it's been a blessing. I know that the quality of the music is not what I would have liked it to be, but you got the gist of it. Take it for what it is, or should have been. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus came and is coming again to be the Prince of Peace. God bless and be a blessing. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't delay. God bless and be a blessing.
Listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.